I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And I am Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And Dust Tactics is hazardous for people under the age of 3 years. What about the rest of us? Find out as we review the game on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 22 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at TabletopBattlefield.com, and we are on to our final review of the year. We're talking Dust Tactics, the new Operation Blue Thunder box set that I got sitting here in front of me. It is made by Dust Studios, and at least in the United States, it's published by Fantasy Flight Games. The story behind Dust Tactics is it's set in 1947, and then basically the Second World War never ended for some reason that's written in the rulebook. Essentially, though, what makes the game sort of unique in terms of story is that some sort of mysterious ore, which some people believe was brought by aliens, has allowed humans to build all sorts of new weapons, including giant robots with big guns, i.e. kind of miniature battle mechs. So in the particular story behind the Operation Blue Thunder set is that the Allied forces, obviously being the United States, British, and the Soviet Union, are launching an attack on basically Nazi-held Antarctica, or at least a stronghold down in Antarctica, because Antarctica is home to a lot of the ore they're trying to, this mysterious magical ore. Yeah, you're saying something?
I was just going to ask the question, why would they be in Antarctica?
So that's the answer, yes. Because this mysterious super powerful ore has very high concentrations in Antarctica. That's why they're going down there to fight. So that's a quick back behind the story of the game. This is a tactical miniatures board game. So for some people who may know the Dust name, there was a previous board game in the Dust universe. I believe it's more of a world-conquering Axis and Allies kind of Risk-style board game. I never played it, but it's more larger epic scale. But this is obviously, you know, squads of troops in the battlefield with a few tanks supporting them running around and shooting each other up. So, ready to go ahead and anything else? So this box is $100. Let's go ahead and open up and see what's inside.
So we get to see what $100 in a box looks like.
So we get to see what $100 in a box looks like. And of course, if you've never watched a Tabletop Battlefield review before, we kind of go topic by topic. And in the back here, we give points to things that we like, i.e. so sweet, and things we hate, hate arrayed. At the very end, we total it all up. And we see how it works out from there. So, $100. What's inside Dust Tactics? It's a pretty good sized box, a nice thing. First of all, you've got a full color rule book, a quick start guide, and a scenario booklet. So you got three kind of small books, well, two small books, and a quick start thing.
It looks like a story.
And a comic book, yes.
Comic book.
So what do you guys think? I mean, I say they're very well produced. Both, I give them points, just the fact that Fantasy Flight makes good rule books. There's bright, big pictures. Very easy to kind of explanations of some of the rules. Very nice example
pictures,
stuff like that.
For examples, yes.
Very high quality production.
Absolutely agree.
It is unlike, where's the other zombie books still sitting around here?
Unlike
the zombie book from the last review. Wow, my mic must turn up a lot. Unlike the zombie book, which falls apart pretty quickly. This one probably won't. So, anyway, let's move on to the game board. You have it's probably about 1 foot by 1 foot game board. Each has 9 squares in it, but double-sided, one side being like internal base side, one being outside in the freezing snow.
Is that 1 foot? I think it looks a little bigger than 1 foot.
Maybe a little bit bigger, but it's about that size. It may be a little bit bigger. But you get 9 of these. I'm definitely going to say I like these. They're definitely very clean to read.
Yes,
very nice artwork. Mm-hmm. What do you guys say? Same thing?
Very nice, yes.
So we give them 2 more points for that. There's also an assortment of other little tiles you've got sitting over here. These are like terrain tiles you can throw down. They're pretty good too, but I'll toss them in with the board. Let's move on to game cards. What do you guys think about all the stat cards? They're kind of like a quarter of a page.
I like the stat cards for the fact is they're big. You can understand what's on them pretty quickly.
Easy to read, and yes. The symbols, you don't get too confused with the symbols.
No, there's not much confusion there.
No.
Most of everything you need to actually reference the characters is on the card. I don't know if there's any, there may be one or two kind of oddball things that aren't, but
just
pretty...
special abilities are the only things you need to remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and this allows you to play the game rather quickly. You get used to what you need to do and how to play the game rather fast.
I will get to later, but all the weapon charts are printed on the cards as well, so you don't have to go back to the rule book or weird parts or backs of the rule book to look up how many high dice to roll. It's all right in front of you. Your ammo counters are there as well. Lots of cool stuff there. So let's move on to, of course, the figures. What do you guys think about the figures? Inside this box, you've got 32 soldier figures, 15 on each side being squads, and then one hero character, which I'm kind of just thumbing through right here. And then you've got four giant robot pieces. So, comments about the figures. You like them, don't like them, what do you guys say? Okay. Someone's head fall off? Or what is that? Is that a piece off the robot?
I think that's a lamp or something.
Oh, yeah. I'll start if you guys don't want to.
I can start.
Okay, what do you say, Cal? Like them or hate them?
I do not like them overall.
What don't you like about them?
The infantry is what I don't like. The infantry soldiers, you cannot immediately tell the difference between them. I do not like that at all.
A lot of them look like basic soldiers.
I mean, when you have special weapons for a special soldier in this game, you need to make it easily distinguishable without even attempting to try. Maybe you need a unique pose or something that you could just immediately tell without looking too hard which guy it is.
Yeah, I think the problem is the fact that a lot of the soldiers do look very similar. Especially between the two different allied squads, all the guys with the basic weapons, all that's different is one may have his gun like kind of down by his waist, one may have it a little bit up by his stomach. So you're talking relatively small changes. Granted, the stat cards do have the pictures of each squad member that goes in the squad, but they're still not as clear as they could be.
No, I'm going to disagree with both you guys.
Okay.
I actually like the figures to the point to where they're very nicely sculpted. One thing I do not like, I think the problem you guys have
is that a hater reader designed it?
Okay. Yeah, both. The bases, because I believe, like, say on the bottom of the base, they could probably have done something to where they could have shown what squad it was part of, like on the bottom part of the base. I think that would have helped them a lot. So yeah, I like the figures. I don't like the bases.
Now, they could have done some other things. I know, like, for example, one of the Allied squads all wears goggles, and that makes them kind of easy to identify. The Nazis don't have so much of that problem because one's got gas masks, one that doesn't, one of weird alien weapons. But for me, though, I want to give a hater aid to the robots. And, I mean, first of all, I think the Allied ones are ugly.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, these guys are really chintzy. They don't feel like game miniatures. They're very flimsy. You feel like they're going to snap. And there's about six pieces of them laying in the box that they fall off easily.
You mean just what I just did there?
I like what you just did there. This, I mean, to some extent, I don't like how some of these games that, like, are trying to make the miniatures more like toys where they can kind of rotate and move all around. I really don't care about that. I mean, it's all right to do it, but if you're sacrificing quality, which I think these really are, they just feel so flimsy. That's my biggest problem with them. I just don't like to see that kind of
cheap plastic.
Yeah, cheap plastic, basically. Very, very cheap plastic.
Yeah, I'll have to say I'll put a hater up for that, too.
Yes.
What about the dice?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So
here comes to our main fault, I think, within the game.
The dice inside Dust Tactics are custom dice. They're six-sided, and essentially four sides are blank. The other two sides each include a hit marker, which, you roll so many dice.
Actual quality of the dice is good if we're just going with the
target,
quality.
Whatever you want to call it. Their symbol is determined.
If we're going with the quality of the dice, they're fine. You know, outside of the gameplay.
Yeah.
They're good quality, big enough size, easily distinguishable
targets. I give
targets.
A point for that.
Yes. I agree. I mean, black and white, it's easy.
And that's kind of, like, your complaints could be the variety of the dice. You could have, you know, different, like, probabilities and things like that.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's a quality from just opening up the box itself.
And we'll talk about the probability stuff later, because that's, but yeah, I know what you're saying. They're good quality, yes.
They're good quality dice.
Ryan?
All dice hate me.
But how about the quality of this dice, though?
I think they're good quality. Good quality.
I think the first one, when I first looked at them, the quality did stand out to me.
The first roll you made had, like, all zeros.
Yes. All misses. Actually, the first roll I ever made, yeah. Yes. When I was practicing rolling, I'm just like, oh, God, this is going to be terrible.
All right. Well, anything else you want to talk about in terms of the product components? Or what about game value? $100.
Well,
over $100.
No, it isn't.
Well, based on the game quality, or should we wait until the end to say if it's worth the
component-wise, what do you think about in terms of the components you get from
$100? No, not even that.
No, $100, no.
I'm going to go with it, definitely, and it once again goes back to the chintzy robots.
HeroScape has the same type of quality, and those things aren't worth $100.
And then another game was StarCraft.
StarCraft, yes. I mean, yes. Had a lot more stuff.
Had a lot
yes.
more stuff for less cost. And yes. the figure quality was much better, too.
I don't know if figure quality is much better. I mean, they're good figure quality, but... Oh, yeah, talk about these guys. They're
yeah. yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and take a look at our battle report that we filmed between Ryan and I... Or not Ryan and I. It's Kyle and I was fighting. Yes, Kyle yes. and I.
I chose a scenario.
He chose a scenario. That's what he did. And yeah. also did provide the opening commentary.
And I still say before watching this that... Yeah, it shouldn't have played out the way it should have played
That's
out.
That's right. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at the battle report. We'll come back with our final review of Dusk Tactics.
Okay, everybody, this is Ryan. We are about to play a Dusk Tactics scenario called Destruction. Basically, everybody gets blown up. What Kyle has to do is take his offense into the area. And plant some bombs and basically blow the base up, and Jason has to defend his base. And ultimately, everybody's probably going to die.
Yes. And already, Kyle has walked away in protest because he thinks this scenario is unfair or unbalanced against him. We'll see what happens. But how Dust Tactics starts off, and we each have, in this case, a 16-point force. Obviously, all units have point values like typical miniatures games. And one thing that's different is our units often don't start on the board. That's why there's no units on the board. The first turn, they walk onto the board, whether it be from wherever they're coming from, I guess. So with that, let's get ready to start first turn and start playing the game. So the first thing we got to do is roll initiative. We roll three dice, and highest number of hits get to choose whether they want to go first or second. 1, 2, 0. Well, we're going
to
let...
Don't you have to roll four dice?
Oh, I do roll four dice. I'm a Bazooka Joe character. Doesn't matter. I still have one anyway.
Yeah.
So I still won anyway. Okay. All right then. That would be. So I'm gonna choose to. I'll choose to go first. This scenario. See what happens. So we're gonna start the first turn right now. So. Here we are. This is the end of turn two.
No fighting.
No shots have been fired. That's kind of how Dusk Tactics seems to run. A lot of the tactics in this game actually revolve around being in and out of cover at the right spot. So it's kind of trying to maneuver in between all the blocks and stuff. And so as a result, we, like I said, no shots have been fired. I've obviously set up a nice, strong infantry train right here defending the objective point that I have to protect. And Kyle is slowly trying to find a way to attack me without charging into a hail of gunfire, which isn't going to happen. But, Ryan, any commentary? You're the commentator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks like it's going to be a slaughter.
So here we are at the end of another turn. I think we've done three turns now, or four, one of the two. That doesn't matter for this scenario. I'm still basically defending the area where he's got to place the bomb. We've had some gunfire over here on the right flank. I've crippled two of his squads. He managed to completely annihilate one of mine with a nice fire, bunch of fire from these guys. So at this point, we're basically going to keep going and see what happens. He's obviously, his attack over here is kind of dying a little bit, but now he's got his big walker coming in over here on the left flank to cause some trouble. So let's roll for the next initiative phase, and we'll see how things go from here. So, a few turns later, the battle is still progressing slowly. I've lost all my infantry because of either a lot of shooting or stupid moves on my part. And so I got my two tanks that are basically now holding off all of these guys. So at this point, Kyle's just got to suck it up and walk into my gunfire and hopefully he survives. So, ready to see what happens in the next round, Kyle?
Sure.
So the game's finally over. Kyle managed to win against all his horrifically self-fulfilling prophecies.
Only because you're an idiot.
I screwed up one move there, but in the end it basically came down to who could roll better. Kyle rolled six hits, I rolled none. So that happens in this game. So, alright, ready to the final review?
That's the
answer. Correct answer is yes.
Yes. We have an answer to that question?
We do. It's over there. Let's go.
Oh
Well, there you go. That's the battle report that Kyle insists that he should have lost, but we won't talk about the tactics. We have plenty of time of talking about our tactics and why we did what we did earlier in before we started recording the show. So this point here, we're going to go about 25 minutes and do a final review of Dust Tactics, move from point to point, saying what we like, what we didn't like, and at the very end, we give our final reviews after we count up the tallies. So let's kind of go through some of the core items. We talked a little bit about, obviously, the figure quality and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
What about flow of gameplay? Did the gameplay go pretty smooth? Was it chunky? What
chunky?
What does that mean?
Like milk or something?
Yes.
Soup?
Like very bad milk.
Was the gameplay chunky?
Stage chunky. Stage right.
What do you guys say? How did this gameplay, Ryan, go well or not? What do you say, yes or no?
I thought it was okay.
Right, Kyle?
It did its job, okay. I think.
I'd agree with you guys. It was pretty fast playing in terms of how things went. Mm-hmm. Any problems with flow of gameplay, Adam?
Scenarios.
Well, yeah, but that didn't really have to do much with game
flow.
No,
yeah, that was more scenario gameplay.
Yeah, you didn't like some of the scenario rules, but yeah. That's just the way
but,
it's... That's, you know.
No, the general game flow, it flowed good.
Yeah, it flowed well if under normal thing.
There wasn't a whole... We had to look at the rule book, to look at the special abilities the first time we used them, but they weren't hard
but
to memorize after that.
Yeah, but
that.
Other than that, I mean, yeah, I mean, this game is a really simple game to play. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such, half the reason, because the dice, it's easy to figure out the outcomes for things. Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Let's start. Anything else? So I'm
gonna
start going through the turn.
About
what about the initiative? How initiative works in this game? Where obviously each turn you roll for initiative, see who's gonna basically get the choice of whether they go first or second. I definitely hated this. Ryan,
who do you want to begin?
both guys hated.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's explain how it works just quickly. So initiative works in this game. Each player rolls 3 of the blast dice, and you count the number of strikes you get. Of course, I got 1. You got 0. The problem that comes in is the fact that you often get the exact same number on both sides. You got to re-roll again and again and again.
I think we rolled like 6 times once, Kyle.
You and I rolled
four times
in a row.
It's not uncommon to have to re-roll the initiative dice 2 or 3 times in a phase because you guys keep rolling the same number of strikes because the law of probability says you're
going
to get this many strikes. And it just slows the game down.
Most likely it's going to be the same.
Yes. Anything else you want to complain
about
that?
If you have 3 dice, it's going to be 1-3.
Yeah, it's probably going to be an average about 1 every time. Mm-hmm. If they had other dice, maybe they could have done it differently, but they chose not to have other dice, just these battle dice, and they did the best they could, and it sucked. All right, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, let's go into the turn structure then. When you activate guys, you got a couple choices. What do you like the different options in terms of move, then shoot, shoot, then move, double move, or sustain fire?
I like those
like
options.
Yeah.
Yes,
those are good.
Very, very nice.
It gives you a lot of freedom in playing the game.
And I like the, the ability that the infantry can go around corners. And
we'll get that in just a moment.
I thought that was part of
it. I'm talking about just your options. So, like, in Dust Tactics, you have 4 things you pretty much can do. You can move, then shoot. Shoot, then move. Do a double movement, where obviously...
Double shot.
Or not double shot. It's called sustain. It's our double shot. But the rule is called sustained fire. And allows you to re-roll your misses, which is really kind of cool, especially in the big, brutal tanks. So it's some cool little tactics like that. So, anything else about those?
No, very nice.
Yep.
Let's go to the movement rules. I know you're going to say you like the little thing you just mentioned, right, Kyle?
Yeah,
I definitely like that, too.
I like the movement rules, even though they're all the same for actual,
everyone kind of moves one space.
One space, which is kind of silly. The moving around corners really makes up for it.
Yes, it does.
So what Kyle's talking about is when you've got, obviously, squares that are blocked by terrain, infantry can move diagonally around basically a blocking terrain, and the robots can't. So the infantry are a little more mobile in terms of running away from the robots and getting them a little bit better shot, and that's a pretty cool little thing they do. Any problems with the movement you think we had?
I just think that...
Should we put 1 up for the fact that everyone moves 1?
Yes.
Yes.
1 hater rage, kind of collective. Everybody moves 1 space.
I mean, it was really pointless to have, like, a movement token on there if everybody's only going to be moving 1, unless they move twice or when they can't shoot. So.
I mean, I assume there's obviously more units outside the game box.
There's only the one unit that can double, that can move 2, you have.
The one rangers do have the ability to move 2 spaces, but that's a special ability. So, what do we think about movement tactics in general? I personally don't like them in this game. What do you guys
think? There really is no movement tactics. It's limited.
It makes no sense.
It's really limited movement tactics.
I mean, that's the same thing. My problem with movement tactics is the fact that everyone moves 1 space to me, it feels more like I'm moving not to screw up, and not I'm not so much moving to try to outflank or beat my opponent somehow.
Now, but one thing apart, I mean, I think they can get away with it with this game, because unlike the last game we reviewed, to where
zombies,
you couldn't move fast enough. This game, at least, you know, you're moving a very around, very small difference, but at least you're getting around. You can get yes. to the areas. You can
and in this, with enough structures and blocking terrain type of thing, you can move around and yes. do a couple of different things, but everyone knows what your abilities are, your limitations.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's definitely not the case that the one movement isn't really slow in terms of this game, because the board is, what, 9 squares by 9 squares?
It's not that big.
But it's just the fact that I don't think there's a lot of using movement to your advantage too much. It's more of like, to me, it feels more like I don't want to screw up.
It's the only thing you can use is moving around.
Moving around the terrain.
Moving around the terrain to give you a better advantage. And that's all I saw. I didn't see actual just moving to is going to help you better than moving one.
It's basically avoiding fire until you can't avoid it any longer, and then you get right into to where it's like you're getting shot up.
Yeah, and then people start dying pretty quickly.
Yes.
Yes.
So what do you think about the fact that obviously terrain tactics in terms of how you get in cover, how you go around cover, is very important in this game?
I like it. It makes up for some of that movement.
Yes, it does.
Problems.
Because actually, it's funny, if you read the quick start guide, it says, lay out all 9 squares, no terrain. That is just brutally a slaughter fest. The tanks sit there and go, kaboom, 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 everybody dies. It's
pretty
because brutal.
They have unlimited range.
Yeah, that we'll talk about.
Which we'll talk about in a little bit.
But that's actually, I mean, that's how real war takes place. So, I mean, it's good, it kind of has that realistic element
it
to it.
It's like that, yeah.
So you got to make your decisions wiser, I mean, for tactics.
We'll discuss this in a little bit.
Yeah. War isn't really about having two guys to stand on the open fire, and they're really running from building the building behind trees. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of cover in terms of playing actual in real warfare tactics, and it's really cool. Mm-hmm. This game does simulate that pretty well. Because if you're caught on the open, you're screwed.
Yes, you are.
As Jason found out.
Yes, hence why it goes back to the fact that it feels like I'm moving not to screw up. And, you know. Anything else about movement tactics? Anything cool this game really had? We already mentioned the walking around the buildings.
That was pretty much the coolest part of the movement tactics.
Not anything we're not talking about special, like, movement.
Do you want to mention it?
Oh, special abilities. I mean,
special movement stuff.
Yeah, like for the mech tanks, like the jump ability, like them going fast. I mean, those were kind of cool elements, you know, to put into the game. Although, I mean, you have to look at stuff.
I consider it more, you know, special abilities as a separate thing than actually movement tactics, because I mean, then there's that charge special ability, which
yeah, it's kind of cool.
But it's a special ability. I don't consider that really movement tactics.
But it's important to know there is a little bit of variation through the special abilities to kind of alter the movement phase a little bit.
Yes.
So guys can do a little bit different stuff. It's not completely stock. It's not a huge, not really unbalancing, I don't think, in most cases. I hear there's one really powerful piece the allies have, but we don't have it, called the engineer, who can like move, shoot, then move back in cover, which could be unbalancing. But it just gives a little variation not being too powerful. Let's move on then. We keep going. Let's talk about just the combat system in general. What do we like about the combat? What don't we like?
Flamethrower can destroy a mech.
Woohoo! Like that or hate it?
I like it. Although Kyle hates it.
Kyle hates it.
I do not like that.
Yeah, so basically the flamethrower, one shot, can blow up a robot if it gets right up next to it. I don't know if that actually works in real life, but
I just imagine that there's some type of like power core that can explode easily if overheated.
Something,
and so it just explodes it, I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, you're just grasping at straws now. I mean, shot doesn't even kill
one of the robots.
One of the robots.
It can. I mean, it takes a couple of tries, but
no, it does 3 points of damage. I'm saying compared to...
It takes at least 2 shots in the bazooka to bring down
exactly.
a robot.
True.
Compared to a flamethrower, which is one shot.
Just melted down.
I mean, exactly. So, and when you're part of a group of units, you have to kill all 5 before...
I think the flamethrower, I mean, it is a little overpowered. I mean, realistically, it is...
it should probably be
3 hits rather than 4, maybe.
But it also, it just focuses everyone's attention just on those two units that you guys have. Once you destroy those... The allies, you'll find, you know, as we found out, were pretty much useless without those 2 units.
Yeah, well, let's go back to before we get into all the different weapons, we already did a little bit. What about the actual combat system itself? We have little charts that you compare armor and weapon values.
I do like the charts.
The combat system is very simple.
Yeah, I think we already went over that.
Did we do that? Oh, well.
Yes, we did.
Oops, I dropped
it. We did go over that and say we liked it.
Yes. We like the charts and the cards. Now, yeah, do we like actually using the charts now is the question. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the answer is yes, we do.
How about using the dice?
Using the dice. Anything you want to say
for combat?
I mean,
it's okay.
Too wild and unpredictable for me. That's why I say
it really is. I have to agree.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. If it's against dice,
they need to have some. Let's explain this, why it's too unpredictable.
I mean, how, like we mentioned, you roll a certain number of dice. Say, like, a powerful weapon might be 6 dice. Probably typical is, like, 4 dice or something.
Yeah.
And the dice have a 1/3 chance of rolling a hit. So, you know, you could possibly roll four hits, as Kyle did once to me, and nearly wipe out a squad. And at the same time, I fire right back at him, point-blank range, and do 0 hits. Because, you know, all 4 of mine come up 0.
Yeah.
And it just has these wild, unbalanced swings, which when you have so few units on the board, I mean, a full game, you have, what, 5 units? You have 3 squads, then a hero who may be with the squad, and then 2 tanks. Where you can have such a big, wild swing so easily, can really ruin your day for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really frustrating, basically. You step out and fire at somebody, you roll, like, 10 dice, and get no hits. They fire 5 dice back at you, 3 hits, and your guys all die. It's too unpredictable for me, especially when the fact that the game is all about staying in cover, not letting yourself get exposed.
So would a better way to, we definitely agree, but would a better way be to, say, have maybe a couple specialty dice where it gives you like a 1-2 chance you can use like a couple of them in a round? You have two of these dice you can use in a round, and then after that you can't use it anymore.
That would be kind of cool. That's obviously, you know, a very monster apocalypse grind kind of tactic. That would be kind of an interesting solution.
So you have like a 1-2 chance instead. Yeah.
If there's some way they could make it so it's more it's more predictable, more average rolls instead of such wild things like, I don't know. I mean, granted, like Warhammer 40K kind of has even lots of more dice, but the end result is you get more average rolls because the way the dice and the wounding and the armor saves all work out, the more predictable it's going to happen, ironically.
So I was just wondering, maybe that would be a way to increase tactics on, hey, you know, I have to really kill this guy, or, you know, I'm focused on him with a specialty type die, and then instead of here...
That definitely would be a way to increase tactics by giving a variety of dice. Yeah, that's a good way.
So I'm just suggesting, because I do like strike dice. I mean, I think it's kind of cool to see these white targets pop up, but I just hate the unpredictability of it. You know, you go out and you miss, and somehow the other person slaughters you. Mm-hmm. And
you could almost do it opposite, where you have, say, 4 hits per die, but you roll half as many dice, you roll fewer. That wouldn't really work.
No, I think that we have a 1-2 chance with like 2 per round.
Yeah.
You get to choose, hey, I really need to kill something.
Yeah, that'd probably be the best way to, that's probably the best way to settle it.
And you have like 2 of them.
Really well things. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sad thing that, it's just a sad thing that, I mean, as much as, you know, you use tactics as much as possible, but the tactics go straight down the toilet if dice don't roll. Yeah. Well for you.
I mean, that's a problem with any game, but this game is just much more unpredictable than other games.
It's more relevant in this game, I think.
Yeah.
So that's why I was suggesting as a possible fix, at least enough to not take out the nice target dice. Because I still like those target dice.
They're fun, I guess.
It's fun to see a roll saying, ha, I got you. And there goes the cheap
robot just broke again.
Once again, this is proof on why we said that this is cheap plastic.
So anything else you want to talk about? Let's see, what have we not covered so far? What about the scenarios? We played a few of the different scenarios. What do you guys think?
I hate the scenarios.
You hate the scenarios? Well, you hate the one that...
No, I hate both of them, honestly.
Both that we played?
It doesn't matter. I won both the scenarios. Mm-hmm. There's only one tactic you should honestly do in each one, and I did...
Which is kind of turtle?
And when you have an attack and defender, you turtle. Because by moving, you're giving up misses. So you let the person come to you, and you're turtle.
I think looking at... I'm sorry. But go ahead.
So I'm just, you know, that's what I'm saying. There's an attacker and defender. In the case where Ryan played me, there was 8 turns. Ryan had to get into my base. Mm-hmm. I turtled. That was the simplest way. Mm-hmm. In the where Jason and I played, Jason should have turtled.
I should have turtled and probably could have put one.
You know, you would have won.
I think, I mean, part of the issue with that in terms of is almost like what we get in the box here. There's not a variety of stuff, so we can't really tailor our army to be an attacker or a defender. If we had more variety of units, maybe there's better guys who are faster and can move and shoot a little bit better. I don't know if there exists in the universe.
Yeah.
Eventually, will be added into the game, which will definitely make turtling probably harder.
Unless there's somehow you're flying in a building.
Unless you're flying in, that's true, I was in a building, wasn't I?
I think also as well, I mean...
Stop putting a plot hole in my ideas.
We played 2 scenarios, and I think the other scenarios had to do something different rather than just turtling. I think those are the 2 scenarios we played, those are the only 2 scenarios that you had to hole up and protect something from someone getting somewhere. I think those scenarios played into different roles.
There's other scenarios where it's like, you know, different deployment zones, or the attackers come from all around the side, defenders in the middle.
But I haven't had the chance to play those, so based on my experience, I did not like the scenarios that I played.
I think if you have a game situation where, because usually when you do an attacker defender scenario, the obvious solution is the attacker has more forces. That's usually how, you know, I just came to my head. That's usually how it works. Where you have a strong defensive position, the attacker gets more guys to compensate for the fact that he's walking into guns, whereas they didn't do that here.
Yeah.
Maybe if they would have said the attackers can, like, one recycle 2 squads that die, or 1 squad or 1 robot that dies, give them a little more forces. Then the scenario probably would be a little more balanced, a little more challenging. Then the defender would have to try something a little bit different than just sit and turtle.
Well, turtling would still be the ultimate best way to do it in any case, because it all goes back to sustained fire.
Yeah, that's true. Sustained fire is pretty powerful.
It's very powerful, and since you're shooting around buildings and corner is a lot harder, the best tactic is to
It's almost like turtle. When you do sustained fire, it's almost like you're effectively potentially doubling your firepower in some ways,
because
you get basically almost double the probability of each die to hit. Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, you're right.
So that's why this, when you have attacker and defender in these scenarios, unless there's a differentiation in unit speed and abilities where they can move 2 and actually move around corner quicker.
Do something and
fire first. Maybe that'd be a little bit better.
And I mean, usually even in these scenarios, the attacker would probably get to fire first, but if they don't kill the defender outright, the defender's just going to unload on them with a sustained fire and pretty much wipe them out, or do either very similar levels or not, if not more damage.
Mm-hmm. So, then that's what I'm trying to get with sustained fire.
So what else do you guys think about? Anything else you guys want to say that's good or bad, Ryan?
I do want to say one thing, at least for this this set. This is a starter set, right?
Yeah, pretty much a starter set.
I think the Allies are a bit weaker than the Nazis. Just my opinion from playing and watching a couple of games.
Yes, I mean, I have to agree, because once the Allies' flame tank is gone, they're pretty much...
If we were to say compare the Pounder to the Ludwig, who is essentially the same, they're essentially supposed to be the same class of units. Yeah... The Ludwig is definitely more powerful. They got usually 1 more die to attack vehicles than what the Allied unit has. The Allies do have 2 machine guns, makes him a little more better against infantry, but you usually don't. But against tanks, he's definitely weaker. So yeah.
But that guy's better against infantry, anyways. I think.
No, they're about the same.
About the same. So.
Yeah, this guy's actually a little bit better in infantry because he got the 2nd machine gun. So he's got technically 10 dice to go against infantry.
Against seven. Seven's still enough in any squad usually.
Usually, especially if you got sustained fire, you probably kill most.
Because you usually don't have more than 1 squad in your sights.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Allies they're probably a little bit weaker. I mean, the Allies definitely can win. I mean, but it's not like super unbalanced, but I think, you're right. The Allies probably are a little bit weaker overall.
Yeah, Nazis do have a slight edge.
Okay.
Definitely. Because I think the Allies just rely on really 1 of 2 people. Really, the flamethrower in each thing. Flamethrower tank.
The shotguns are really powerful, too, for the Allies and their infantry guys.
But, as I said, once you take out the flame, this guy can just run amok.
Yeah, he's pretty powerful. Yeah.
This guy runs amok on everyone.
Yeah, anyway, well.
So, and that's why I'm saying sustained fire with this guy. Kills all infantry, kills all tanks.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the next topic here. I'm going to put up a haterade for our camera girl, Sarah. It is for the fact that Bazooka Joe does not carry a bazooka.
Oh, yes.
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 It's a stupid little thing, but his character name is Bazooka Joe, but he carries a grenade launcher.
Makes things kind of confusing when you're talking through the game.
When you say Bazooka Joe, I thought you were referring to the actual bazooka unit.
Yes, but no, it's the guy who carried a grenade launcher. Kyle, anything else you don't like that we haven't talked about?
Let's see. One thing that I'm not sure if I don't like, I just never thought of before.
Okay.
Is there besides line of sight, I mean, there's obviously line of sight, but can you be facing backwards on someone and shoot?
No,
I just
want to
make
so.
Sure, because that was never came up.
I don't believe, no, there really isn't.
So, but the one thing I think, though, there should be a little bit, maybe, if you're behind someone, you should maybe get a little bit of advantage or something. So I don't like
against the robots?
Yeah, against, like, the robots. Sense.
Basically the problem is no facing in the game. Facing doesn't matter.
Exactly.
360 degree, because you have.
That's
what
I'm saying, because turning around isn't really moving, is it?
No, it's not. Nope. It's not count. And actually, I like that.
You like
that?
I don't
think I like
so
that.
You're going to say you like that?
Yeah, I think it gives you less tactics.
A little bit less tactics. It's simplicity versus tactics.
Yes.
You're taking away a choice, but it makes the game faster to play.
Yes, it does.
So, I think you should be able to give up maybe one of your movements to turn around or something.
They only have one move from the beginning.
No, that's that goes back to the problem with one movement.
Yeah, if you had multiple movement points, it makes sense.
You know, if everyone had two
something
to
yeah.
begin with, and then you say one to turn these guys around. You know, infantry's
or even if like some games where after you finish a movement, you can turn face any direction you want. But still, it still leaves your back exposed some direction.
Well, I'm saying when you begin moving, in this case, if your back is exposed, you still have to.
Okay, you have to
a movement to spin around because it's a giant robot.
Yeah.
It takes...
But, movement is very abstract in this game. The fact that there's nine squares across the entire board, which causes a handful of tactical problems. But yes, that's what you're saying. Kara, can I give a... I want to give a haterade to the line of sight, or the double opposite diagonal line of sight being blocked, clusterfuck of a situation.
It's weird.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah. It makes sense if you look at the diagram in the book, but trying to explain the fact that if line of sight diagonally crosses two opposite blocked edges, blocked corners, or corners of blocking terrain, it's blocked. But if it's two of the same corners, it's not blocked. It's tough to explain. That's the problem with it. It's not that it's a hard concept to understand, it's just tough to explain.
Because we had questions on if it was...
I think so. I think that's two corners, sucker. I think the reason they do that is otherwise there would be situations where you'd be easily able to fire across the board, especially in like the first mission, the first scenario where you got lots of space.
Oh, this goes back to my other complaint.
Unlimited range. We didn't do that yet. Yeah. Unlimited range hater raid.
I do hate unlimited range. I think there's, even though they will easily outrange the infantry, and that's fine, I understand that, but it shouldn't be unlimited range across the whole entire board.
Yeah.
Because especially when you get in the...
We're talking about the big guns of
the
robots.
Situations.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to stand here and sustain fire the whole time.
You did that the first game. Ryan kind of screwed up the placement of one of his guys, one of his tanks, and you sustained fire from 8 squares away and that side of the board and blew him up in one turn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I did not like that. I mean, it was fun doing it, don't get me wrong, but I didn't like that.
I agree. So we got about 1 minute left. One final topic. Anything you want to talk about? Anything else that's good,
that
bad?
That was my final topic. Okay. Was really the...
Was yeah, my really, topic was...
Sarah, anything else you want to mention? You play the game? Nope, Sarah's happy. So, okay. I guess that'll be it then. We'll let the time... We'll be quiet for 45 seconds. We'll let the time drift away. Just kidding. I'll stop the timer. All right, let's go ahead and just do our final reviews. Should we roll the initiative dice and see what happens?
Let's roll two at a time.
Two at a time? All right, make it
I
even
need a
harder.
Second die.
Dylan takes.
One.
One. You have one. Okay, Ryan, let's go ahead. Two.
Two.
Two. One. 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 Zero.
Zero.
One.
One.
I think one.
Ryan goes first.
Yeah.
You see our point about
the
initiative.
I think this pretty much sums up the game, I think, right there.
Okay, well, my final review is, I mean, I think it's a good game. I think, though, that it is overpriced. Way overpriced. I think for $50...
We should probably count up first, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I probably should count. Well, can we count after a review?
Oh, all right, why not?
Yeah, since I've already started talking.
Yeah, keep talking. After Ryan's done talking, we'll count them up.
Yeah, thank you for interrupting me.
I have rules, I gotta follow them. Go ahead.
But yeah, I think for $50, I think this game would be fair, but for $100, I think it's way overpriced. I mean, with the, like, the figures, you know, falling apart a little bit, and just the quality of the game.
I'm sure you fell off again.
Yep.
And the playability of the game, like, the replayability is, I mean, if you would want to play it, if you guys want to play it, would you guys want to play it again?
If I was bored.
I would play it again if I had, you know, more figures and a larger battlefield, but I'll talk about that in my
I think with a larger battlefield, I think this game would be a lot better. Because you can blow stuff up more. But, I mean, overall, I think it's a good game. Probably not for everybody, but it's a good game.
All right, let's count the things. Kyle, you want to do the hater rates?
So 29
so sweets, 25 hater rates. A little bit better. It's probably around where HeroClix was this year. Mm-hmm. For me... I mean, I did enjoy playing the game. It wasn't excruciatingly painful like some games zombies. Have been this year, zombies. And it felt a little too abstract for me. I maybe would have liked it more if it was a miniatures game, a little more different positioning, and maybe a faster movement. This game probably would work pretty well on a large scale, but I'm not going to buy the figures to play on a large scale, because if you go to the website where you buy the... At least the website advertised in the box, they have like dust-models.com where you can buy the professionally made models. Mm. They have probably very high quality resin casts, which are not what you get here. These are cheap pieces of junk. Very high quality resin casts.
So
these robots
overpriced.
Are $135 each.
They're very overpriced.
So I don't know if you can find like these figures cheaper than like the actual high quality resin cast, but I'm not paying that kind of money to be more of this game. It is overpriced. It's an all right game. I think there's a few things I would have liked to see differently, mainly more focus on movement tactics than just hope I don't step out and die. Mm-hmm. And obviously the wild probability of the dice is a little too ridiculous for me. Go.
I found this to be an average game. It doesn't pop out in my mind as anything unique or special. Mm-hmm. Some things were enjoyable, like, you know, blowing stuff away with robots, but overall, you know, initiative, you know, speed, you know, just lots of small little things just added up that does not make this game a $55
or
$100.
Double your price there, Cal. Double your price.
$100 game. It is more $55.
Yeah.
And then I just don't see how they can even say 2 to 4 players in this game. You really need to double your forces for it to even be close. And then my other question is where...
Maybe there should be in the back 2 to 4 players star, where the star says buy an extra set for 4 players.
And then where's the Japanese and the other, you know, other countries in this?
I'll mention... If you look at the map of the world, the Japanese Empire, as well as the Soviet Union, they're still there. They're still major players in the world, the universe. This starter set only focuses on the Allies, in terms of probably England and America, as well as the Nazis.
And I think that, you know, it could give better, you know, it would be more unique and kind of, you know, a lot more fun to play more than just two sides with the pretty much similar stuff.
Yeah, they're very similar. It would be kind of cool to see if the Japanese have some cool stuff because they're like they're crazy psycho charge and, you know, styles of fighting they had in World War II. It'd be kind of cool to see if there's something cool for that, but I don't know.
Like ninjas or something? Like a ninja unit?
They might as well throw them in there. Why not? Be stereotypically offensive. Who cares? All right. Anything else about this game then? We're done?
Except for being offensive, yes.
We're being offensive. All right, well, guys, thanks for watching this episode. We do have, the next episode is going to be our 100th episode special, which I haven't told these guys what we're going to do yet. I'll do that right when we're done.
Do you even know?
I do know what we're going to do.
Okay.
Oh, so wow. We do have a few things planned.
Oh, a few things.
Hopefully it'll be kind of fun.
Could you actually prepare us for once?
I will prepare you for once. Nice. I'll tell you once we're done recording this what we're going to do over the 100th episode.
Yay.
Which means you still have probably a few days left by the time the show comes out. If you want to send us a random question.
Has anybody sent
maybe,
us any
random? Or maybe an idea of next year.
Who knows?
Next season?
Maybe. We'll deal with that later. So this is the final review. After 100 episode, we got two more kind of cool things we're going to do, and that be
kind
it for the
cool
year.
Things we're going to do.
Yes.
Kind of cool.
Kind of cool. Hopefully. All right, I'm just rambling, so I'm going to stop talking right now because there's no point in hearing me ramble even more. Nope. Yeah, that's about it. So, all right. Let's go ahead and see you guys again, well, maybe 2 weeks, maybe one, because the last episode came out late, blah, 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 on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.